everyone, and welcome to our Employment Law Year in Review Regional Roundtable series, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the largest network of labour and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Chloe Lopesher, knowledge and learning lawyer at Bowmans in South Africa. Each year, we kick off our programme with a special series of Year in Review programmes, broken down by region and focusing on the most impactful regulations of the past year, as well as forecasting on some important topics that will impact employers in the coming year. Joining us today, we have an ELA member representing Oman. On the program is Govinda Panu, partner at Adelshaw Goddard LLP. Govinda, thanks so much for taking the time today. How are you?
I'm very well, Chloe, and hello to you. Thank you very much for inviting me on this podcast. I hope you're feeling a lot better. I know you were suffering from a cold earlier.
Thanks so much. I'm definitely on the mend. Thank you.
Great,
so, Govinda, what would you say were the most significant legal challenges in 2023 that impacted employers in Oman?
Well, there have been two major legislative changes last year in the employment sphere, the first being the social protection law and the second being the long-awaited new labour law. These two laws were issued within one day of each other in July 2023.
So could you unpack both of these laws for us and for our listeners, starting with the social protection law?
Yes, of course. The social protection law, which came into force on 1 January 2024, so a 6-month lead-in time, has overhauled the various state pension schemes, merging these into one unified pension scheme for Oman nationals, irrespective of whether they work in the private sector or in the public sector. In relation to foreign national employees, i.e. expatriates, the social protection law makes provision for the introduction of a state savings scheme, which will eventually replace the end of service gratuity that expatriates receive in lieu of an Oman state pension when their employment comes to an end. So the replacement savings scheme is due to be introduced by no later than 19 July 2026, and that's to give an opportunity or the government to work out appropriate schemes that will replace that end of service gratuity. Additionally, though, the social protection law also provides for a number of new state benefits, such as orphans and widows benefit, child benefit, income support, which is completely new in this market, as well as continuing the unemployment benefit for Omani job seekers. There are also other employment benefits that are covered under the social protection law, such as in relation to maternity leave pay, paternity leave, sick leave, and other special leave pay. I should also add that the regulations to the social protection law were very recently issued on the 31st of December 2023, and those regulations provide that employers are entitled to reimbursement of pay from the Social Protection Fund in relation to those employee benefits that are paid out. Now, the details of the mechanics of reimbursement have yet to become available. So, although, you know, the social protection law is a radical piece of legislation, the most significant change, however, is the introduction of a new labour law, which replaced the previous labour law that was issued in 2003. So 20 years later.
Okay, yes, let's move on to that new labour law, because I'm sure there must be a lot of reforms that could be implemented in those 20 years. Could you highlight for us some of the key changes or the improvements that this law has brought about?
Yes, certainly. I mean, the new labour law is obviously packed with lots and lots of changes. But in terms of the key provisions, employees are now entitled to a number of new or extended benefits. For example, paid maternity leave, which has been extended from 50 days to 98 days. And also an additional 1 year of childcare leave for the female employee, albeit that is unpaid. For fathers, they are now entitled to paternity leave of 7 days with salary, when previously there was no such statutory entitlement. Paid sick leave has also been extended from the previous 10 weeks to a whopping 182 days of leave. That is on a sliding scale, but nevertheless, that's a significant extension. Bereavement leave has also been extended in some cases, depending on the family relationship. There is a new entitlement of 15 days of patient attendance leave for Omani national employees, and that is to enable them to accompany a relative up to the second degree for medical treatment. And employees can also now request unpaid leave. And also another real significant change is in relation to the end of service gratuity, which I mentioned a few minutes ago. This has increased to 30 days basic salary for each year of service in relation to expatriates. And that's an increase of 15 days in relation to the previous entitlement in the first 3 years of employment. For employers, termination for poor performance or redundancy are now both recognised statutory reasons to terminate employment. And although there are a number of other changes, it is important to highlight that the labour law makes it unlawful to terminate an employee for a discriminatory reason, such as on the grounds of their religion, religious belief, gender, origin, disability, etc. So there are now a number of protected grounds against dismissal. Compensation for unlawful termination still starts at 3 months' gross salary, but is now capped at 12 months' salary. However, the courts still have the power to order reinstatement. So employers will still need to be aware that although compensation has been capped, there is still, nevertheless, a risk of reinstatement in some cases.
Govinda, that's so interesting. That last point actually brings your law in Oman very similar to what we have in South Africa in terms of capped compensation being at 12 months, but also having that entitlement to reinstatement in certain circumstances. Looking forward now, are there any further changes to employment law that are anticipated to have a big impact on HR in 2024? Or is there anything that employers should be doing now to prepare for incoming changes or some of the developments that we've just been discussing?
Well, yes, the executive regulations to the new labour law are still awaited, and these regulations will provide further details and supplement the new labour law. So employers are eagerly anticipating those regulations. We don't quite know when those will be ready. So yes, I anticipate there'll be further changes in that sphere. In the meantime, if they haven't already, employers should update their policies and procedures to make sure that they are compliant with the new labour law, and also ensure that they have made sufficient provision to meet their end of service gratuity liability in readiness for the new replacement savings scheme, which will come in to force by no later than 1 July 2026, as I mentioned before. Employers must also ensure that salary details of their expatriate staff are up to date and correctly registered with the Ministry of Labour, since under the regulations to the Social Protection Law, employees will be entitled to apply for correction of any incorrect details, given that this will impact their entitlement under the savings scheme to their final gratuity. And also, just one final point, the regulations to the data protection law were also just recently published last month in February, and employers have 1 year to ensure that they are compliant with the data protection law, and that they have the required approvals from the regulator to process sensitive personal data of their employees, and in the case of where employers sponsor their family members, to also make sure that they have approval to process family member sensitive personal data, which as you and I know, Chloe, when it comes to visas and administering medical insurance benefits and so on, a lot of the information that employers require will include sensitive personal data.
So it sounds like there's definitely some items there that you've listed for employers to add to their compliance checklists going into this year. Gormadit, this has been such an interesting conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, Chloe. It's been an absolute pleasure to have this opportunity to highlight some of the recent developments in Oman.
If you would like to connect with Gormadit, please click on her bio in the description of this podcast. We also encourage you to reach out to any of our lawyers around the world by selecting Find a Lawyer on the ELA website at ela.law or download our app by searching Employment Law Alliance in the App Store, Apple App Store, or Google Play Store. Additionally, check out training.ela.law to access our training portal featuring online harassment prevention programs and much more. Information about all the programs available in the Year in Review series and other resources are available on the event landing page at ela.law. You've been listening to the Employment Law Year in Review Regional Roundtable, a series brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Chloe Lopesha, and thanks for listening.